Why do capable, accomplished women keep applying for jobs that they can do in their sleep? If you have ever caught yourself applying for a role that feels safe, even though you know that it's not going to pay you enough, you know that you're ready for more, and you know that you're overqualified, then you need to listen to this episode. Because in this episode, I am breaking down the three traps that keep you selling yourself short and aiming for jobs you're overqualified for. And I share how to finally aim for jobs at the level of impact and income that you actually belong. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for professional women ready to leave miserable jobs, stop being overlooked, and land higher paying roles they're excited about without compromising who they are. I'm Dr. Tega Edwin, a career counselor and coach who went from feeling unfulfilled and stuck at work to thriving in a career I've loved for over 10 years. Along the way, the professional awards, $3 million federal grant, and textbook I wrote are some evidence of the impact I've been able to have, all while building a coaching business to help women like you find fulfillment and have impact in their careers. Inside my programs, Find Your Fulfilling Career and Next Level Career, I guide women to clarify their path, land dream jobs, and negotiate salary increases with faith and confidence. Whether you're ready to leave a soul-sucking job or advance into your next level role, you're in the right place. Together, we'll uncover what's holding you back and help you step confidently into the career and life God has for you. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, wonderful listener. Welcome back to another episode of the Fulfilling Career Podcast. Today, we are talking about a pattern that I constantly see when I am working with my one-on-one clients in next level career. And it's this pattern where highly qualified women stay applying for jobs that are below their capability level. So women who are super qualified, they have the experience, the track record, the skills, but they keep applying for roles at like the manager level when they're ready for director level roles, or they're applying for associate positions when they should be going for senior roles. And if this is you, then this is probably resonating where deep down, you know that the jobs you're applying for, you could do with your eyes closed, and that it's time for you to stretch into roles that will challenge you and help you grow. But you find that you keep looking for, targeting, applying to roles that are below what you can do now. Really, honestly, roles that you can do in your sleep, roles that are going to bore you to death, that are going to make you feel like you're not growing in your career, but you're still in that pattern of applying for them. And the fact is that when you're doing this, it actually really costs you, because every time you're aiming below your skill level in your career, you're not just leaving money on the table, you are reinforcing the very doubt that made you play small in the first place. Meaning when you aim for these low-level roles, you reinforce the message in your head that you're not ready for director level, you're not ready to earn a certain amount, you don't have the skills to lead, or the title to lead, or the qualities to lead. Whatever it may be, you are reinforcing messages that you're not ready just by nature of how it looks and the process of applying for these lower level roles, which I'll get into in this episode. The experience of applying for roles that are beneath what you're capable of reinforces the doubt that you're ready for a higher level. And so in today's episode, I want to share exactly why this is happening, the specific traps that cause you to keep aiming below your capability in your career, and how to break this cycle of applying for lower level roles. Now, before I start by sharing the three traps that cause women to keep aiming lower, I do want to talk about what is often at the root of these traps and this pattern, because I think this is going to help set the scene for everything else I'm going to share in this episode, just to help you really, one, picture yourself, assess yourself, see if this is something you resonate with, and two, understand the traps that lead to under-aiming in your career, as well as how to then overcome it. So when I think about this problem of aiming for roles that are below your level, there is a root cause that I call the underutilization cycle. So I think of a client I was working with earlier this year in my one-on-one coaching, and when she came to me, so whenever I start working with a new one-on-one client, we always do I call it a promotion strategy call, where it's just an hour to talk about what are the barriers you're facing in your career, what's keeping you from reaching your goals, what have you tried to overcome those barriers. And then in that call, I usually then share exactly how I will help you get promoted with a 50K plus salary increase and just share what our work together will look like. And I always share three specific ways that I'm going to help you hit your goals. So I remember earlier this year, I was working with starting to work with a client who was having this call. And something she said to me on the call was, I just feel like I'm being underutilized or unseen at work, and I don't know how to break it. And that phrase really stood out to me because I had heard it before, that word underutilized. Here's what I see happening. When you're underutilized and feeling unseen in your current role, you start internalizing doubt about your capability. Too often, we underestimate how insidious it is to be in a position where you're underutilized and undervalued. We often underestimate the power of the messages that we receive directly or indirectly from our workplaces, where when you're in a work environment where you have maybe applied for a promotion, asked for opportunities, shared ideas, and you've been shut down, you have gotten either direct or indirect rejection over and over and over again, what starts to happen is that you now start internalizing those voices of rejection, where initially it was a manager, a colleague, a boss, somebody else saying, you're not ready, you're not good enough. Again, directly or indirectly, sometimes they say you don't have leadership presence, and your brain can interpret that as you're not good enough. Or they might say, you wait your turn, and your brain might interpret that as you don't have the skills, right? So they can either directly or indirectly say you're not good enough. Again, they either say the words or your brain interprets their words as you're not good enough. When you hear that over and over and over again, over time, what started as somebody else's voice starts to sound like your voice. You start to internalize that message that you're not good enough. And so now, again, when it was initially some boss who maybe did not really know your skill set, did not do the due diligence, or maybe, let's be honest, was just prejudice, they had an external message towards you that you're not ready. You stayed in that company. The next time you applied for the promotion, same thing. Next time, same thing. Next time, same thing. Over time, what starts happening is you start telling yourself, maybe I'm not good enough. If I can't even get recognized here, how could I succeed at a higher level in my career? Maybe I don't have the skills to be a director. Maybe I don't have the skills to lead a team. Maybe I'm not ready. Now, these messages become your own voice and they follow you into your career and into your job search. You now start to perpetuate this self-fulfilling prophecy of, I don't think I'm good enough, so I'm not going to put in the effort, and then I'm not going to be good enough. And I remember I shared this, something along this line of thought on my Instagram just a few days ago. And somebody responded and said, I started in my Instagram stories, and she responded and said, I forget her exact words, but just almost, oh, she said, it's kind of like an abusive relationship. And I'm like, you know what? Yes. You know, I don't want to go in that direction. I hope this is not triggering for anyone. But one thing I always like to remind women is that your job is a transactional relationship. There are two parties in this relationship who should be benefiting from it, you and your company. And so if this is transactional, that means you should be getting something from your organization, whether it's the pay, the title, the recognition, whatever your values are, they should be getting met because you are giving the company something. And if your needs are not being met, this transactional relationship is no longer beneficial for you and you need to find a different one. That's what it means to be the CEO of your career, is you're always thinking, what is beneficial for me and my career? And not in a selfish way, but with the recognition that if you are thriving in your career, any company you're in is automatically going to benefit. So it makes sense for you to prioritize yourself in your career, because then you will do better work for the company that you're working for. So I went on a tangent there. What I was getting at, though, is that one of the reasons why we end up aiming for jobs that are below our level is that we have fallen in this underutilization cycle where we hear that we're not good enough, so we start believing we're not good enough, so we start aiming for jobs that are below what we can actually do, and the cycle perpetuates itself over and over again. And then because of that mindset and that cycle, there are then three very specific traps that can lead to you aiming for jobs that are below what you're able to do. Okay. So those three traps, the first one is what I call the safety trap. The safety trap usually sounds something like, I should apply for roles I know I can do. That way I won't fail. That way I won't be exposed as not ready or not good enough. I'm going to aim for a job that's easy for me to do because then they won't know that I don't actually have the skills or I'm not qualified, even though objectively you do have the skills and you are qualified. So with the safety trap, you might look at director level job descriptions and your first thought is, nah, I can't do that. That's too much of a stretch. No, I don't have the skills. I've never done this piece of the JD before. JD means job description. I've never done this piece before. I've never led a team. I've never talked with vendors. I've never been a thought partner to the CEO. So then you scroll down to the manager roles instead, and those feel safer. The manager roles feel more achievable, more realistic, more within your reach. So that's what you apply for. And then what most likely happens is you don't get the job because, let's be real, you were overqualified for it, or you get the job and you get into the job and now you're bored because you were overqualified for it. And here's what's actually happening with this safety trap. You're confusing comfort with safety. Let me say that again. You are confusing comfort with safety. They don't mean the same thing. You can be comfortable in spaces and places that are very unsafe for you and your career. A role you can do in your sleep is not safe. It's a guarantee that you will stay underutilized, underpaid, unhappy, and unseen in your career. You'll be bored in 6 months. You'll be looking for your next move within a year. And you would have wasted time in a role that didn't help you grow. You would have wasted time in a role that didn't develop you, didn't position you for the level you actually wanted, didn't pay you the salary you actually wanted, and kept you from reaching the financial goals that you had. Because you were earning less, you couldn't save for a down payment for the house you wanted to purchase. Because you were earning less, you couldn't give to your parents the way you wanted to. Because you were earning less, you couldn't enroll your kid in that after-school activity you wanted to. Because you were earning less, you couldn't give to your church the way you wanted to. Because you confused comfort with safety, you stayed in a place that was comfortable, but it did not keep you safe because, in fact, it jeopardized your skill growth, it jeopardized your financial future, and it jeopardized your overall self-confidence. Real safety doesn't come from staying small. Real safety comes from building skills, expanding your capability, and increasing your market value in your field. And you can't do any of that in a role you're overqualified for. And so that's the safety trap that will cause you to aim for roles that are below your level. The second trap that I've seen directly that could keep you aiming for roles you're overqualified for is the title trap. This one I heard like straight from a client of mine. So I had a client who had been an assistant director of operations for about 13 years. She came to me because she had asked, first of all, let me back up. She had been performing as the interim director for her company for about 6 years. And then instead of them promoting her to director role, they brought in somebody else to be the COO and they eliminated the director role entirely and kept her as the assistant director. And she was still doing the job of the assistant director and director, not to mention she was also doing work in two other departments, communications and HR, just by nature of how they spread her out. So she had been heavily overworking. She had been operating as a director and she had asked them for the title a couple of times. They said no. She asked for a raise a couple of times. They said no. Mind you, she's doing like four different people's jobs. So when she came to me, she knew that she really wanted to be in a director role. Again, she had been doing interim. She knew she was ready. She wanted the title and the money to come with the level of work she was doing. But when we started working together, I noticed that she would still show or share with me associate director and assistant director positions. And I'm like, girl, what are we doing? Why are you sending me these? We have decided that we're going to aim for director. And when I asked her about it, she's like, you know, I just feel like because I've never had the director title, I'm not going to get callbacks if I apply for these roles. I don't think I can apply for a director job because I won't get interviews and people will think I'm not ready because I haven't had the title. And I was like, hold up. Wait a minute. Have you seen that? There's a meme of, I think it's Kevin. He's like, wait a minute. Back up. And that's what I was thinking, because the title trap is where you believe that you need the exact title before you can apply for a role. And that couldn't be furthest from the truth. All my clients often land jobs that they've never had the title for. Because the truth is, you don't have to have had the title to land the job. You just have to be able to show and prove that you have the skills to do the job well. And usually, you develop the skills to do the job well for your next level at your current level. So at your current level, you already have the skills to be a director. You don't need the title of director. We just now need to market you for the director role. Your resume now needs to show all the director type things you were doing, like leading teams, talking to stakeholders, talking to the C-suite, being a thought partner for the senior leadership team, being in those leadership team meetings. You just have to show the outcomes that you've had relevant to the specific type of role that you want based on your current role. And then we just talk about it using language from the director level title. And I mean, that's roundabout what I said to her. This is what I always do with my clients when I help them repackage and reposition their resume and their LinkedIn profile to aim for director level roles. And so you have to recognize that you don't need to have had a title to land a job. You just need to show that you can do the job to land the job. And you show that you can do the job based on the language in your resume, how you talk in interviews, the language in your LinkedIn profile, not the title of the jobs on your resume. That's not how you show you can do the job. And so back to the client I was talking about, she had already operated as the interim director for a while. She had been demonstrating the ability to be a director. She had landed director level outcomes. That's why she was able to land a director level role once we repositioned how she was marketing herself. The title is what you get from the new job, not what you need to have before applying to the new job. So if you've been doing director level work, even without the title, you are qualified for director level roles. Don't fall into the title trap. And then the third trap that usually keeps you applying for roles that you're overqualified for is the fear trap. And this one I have personal experience with, because I definitely fell into this trap hard when it was time for me to advance in my career. Because when I finished my PhD, I had been working as a career counselor for a couple of years. And I told myself that I wanted to apply for, ironically, director of career services roles. I said ironically because now I help women land director roles. But for me, that was, for in my sense, it looked on paper like an advancement, but it was holding me back. That was not my next level. It just felt practical, realistic, achievable. I knew I could do that job in my sleep. But my actual stretch job, my real next level role, the one that was actually going to grow me and stretch me, was to be a professor. And I was terrified that I didn't have the skills to be successful as a professor. So I aimed, well, I should say almost, I almost aimed for what was actually lower level. Like I spent time talking to the director where I worked in like the career services center to just learn more about positioning myself. And I was ready to start applying. And honestly, when I look back, I was aiming for a lower level role because I was afraid. Fear was masquerading as practicality. Right? Me telling myself, I'm being realistic. This job will let me get a work visa. This job will be easy to land. I won't have to interview too much. When really all those words just meant I'm scared. I'm scared that I won't be successful. Low key, I'm scared that God won't show up. Because and I'm not calling you out. I'm just telling you how I think. Usually if I think something isn't possible in my head, it's like, okay, now you've made the problem bigger than God, which is not true. So either you trust the Lord to show up or you don't. Girl, which one is it? And for me, it was like, okay, back up. I do trust the Lord. Let me move accordingly. But the thing that changed was I remember a mentor actually believing in me and affirming that I did have the skills that I thought I didn't have. I even remember thinking to myself, you know what? God will not take me somewhere and leave me there. He brought me this far through this PhD program. He's not going to abandon me. There's definitely a path here for me in academia. And I just had to trust that the Lord would be with me in all my career choices. But because I had that mentor say, you know what, you're actually really good at research, it made me realize, okay, I had been positioning myself wrong because of my fear. My fear was causing me to downplay my skill sets, play small, not really talk about my experience as well. And so I knew that I would have to first of all, in my mind, reposition myself and believe I could be a professor. And then on paper, when networking and interviews, actually highlight the relevant skills that they were looking for to land the role. And that's just what I did. Once I got over the fear, I positioned myself right. I applied for professor roles. I only applied to 10 roles. I got 6 interviews of those 10. I landed my top choice position. And I've been, till today, I'm still astounded at how the Lord has succeeded me. I can't even think of the word. Just the way I've been so successful on a path I was so scared of is just a testimony of how the Lord has blessed me with the skills I needed to be successful. Because in the 7 years that I've been a professor, I got tenured, I got a multi-million-dollar federal grant, I wrote a textbook, I got teaching awards, I got research awards in a role I thought I wasn't ready for. Isn't that just wild? And looking back, again, first thing that helped me succeed, first and always God. But also just, I knew how to develop skills. I believed in my ability to build a skill set even when I thought I wasn't ready. So for this role, my big struggle was the research part. So when I struggled with doing a data analysis, I took seminars over the summer. I watched YouTube videos on data analysis. I would pray before doing my analysis. I leaned into my strengths where I realized I was a great writer. So I wrote things that came easy to me. I leaned on mentors who helped me understand the strategy of just navigating academia, how to plan my research, how to balance teaching and scholarship, how to show up in the space. All those things came together to help me be successful. So the fear trap will tell you, I'm not ready. But the truth is that you already know how to develop the skills that you need as long as you tap into the right support systems. Like I think of a client I'm working with right now who we're doing two things concurrently. We're aiming her for a director of product management role. And she also got a stretch position in her current job that she wants to leave. And there's a bit of tension with just leading direct reports, navigating her time. And so I'm helping her with both of those things. While we are doing her resume, applying for jobs, I'm also giving her feedback on how to respond to a difficult direct report, how to talk to senior leadership, how to manage her time, how to reframe her mindset. She is tapping into the support of a coach to help her be successful in this role that is already preparing her for her next level. So instead of falling into the lie that you're not ready and then applying for lower level roles, just believe that you know how to develop the skills you need to be successful. And even what you don't know, you can find the answers. You can work with a coach. You can talk to a mentor. You can get the support that you need to become ready. You've been doing it your whole career. You've been learning skills, you've been stretching, you've been growing. And so when you step into your next level director role, you will figure it out just like you always have. So those are the three traps that can lead you to under aim in your career, right? The fear trap, the title trap, and the safety trap. So now that we've identified those traps, now how do you overcome them so you stop undershooting, right? Like under aiming in your career. Well, first, let me share with you some signs that you're ready for the next level. I think it's just even important for you to assess for yourself. Okay, yes, my mindset might be playing tricks on me, making me think I'm not ready, but objectively, am I actually ready? Here are some signs for you. I'm going to share about 5 of them. The first one is you are the go-to person for solving problems in your organization. If people are consistently coming to you when things get difficult, people are telling you that you hold everything together. I remember one of my clients got that, like, you do everything for everybody and you hold everything together, but you're not ready for leadership. Girl, what? I hold things together, but I'm not ready to lead. Stop playing. Anyway, I got distracted. So that's the first sign. If you're the go-to person for complex problems, you are operating above your current level. You're ready to be a director. The second sign that you're ready is that you're making decisions that are typically made by the level above you. So if you're already thinking strategically, managing projects, influencing direction, you're ready for the title that matches what you're doing. I remember working with another client who told me she legit was, she was an assistant. She wasn't even a manager. She was a manager. And she was a manager of diversity. They didn't have a director of diversity or a chief diversity officer. So there were no senior leaders. And so they would pull her into those senior leadership meetings. She was in meetings with a bunch of directors for at least 2 years. And then when it was time for them to promote somebody to a director of diversity role, Yeah, you guessed it. They brought somebody external. When she had been sitting in those meetings for years, making those decisions for years, consulting on those topics for years. But then somehow she wasn't ready. What? She wasn't ready to do the job she was already doing without the title and the pay? Y'all, corporate America stays playing in women's faces, particularly Black women, and they need to stop. You need to stop letting them play in your face. So anyway, do you see how I keep getting distracted? Because all of these signs I pull from my client stories, and I got to tell you, I'd be getting hot on behalf of my clients. Like legit, I'd be like, no, they're playing in your face and we need to get you out yesterday. So back to the signs, you're ready for the next level. The first one was you're the go-to person for complex problems. The second one was you're making decisions typically made by the level above you. Third sign, you are bored or frustrated in your current role. So if you can do your job on autopilot, you're overqualified. Like if I could wake you up from your sleep and you can do your job without even thinking, you're overqualified. Because boredom is not a sign to stay comfortable. It's a sign that something needs to stretch and change in your career. The fourth sign that you're ready is that you have been in your current role for over 3 years. If you've been performing well and you haven't moved up, you haven't gotten a raise, you haven't gotten a promotion, it might be time for you to look externally. Like, don't keep waiting for your current company to see you as ready for the next level. Go somewhere where you'll be valued. And let me actually back up. There's a caveat there. Because I remember last week I shared a post on LinkedIn where I was talking about taking initiative to talk to your manager and let them know what you're doing. I talked about, so really what I said was communication is what positions you as a leader, not credentials. And so a lady had commented on that post and she was like, tell me more about number four, because it was a list of five things and number four was the communication one. And she said, tell me more about that. And I'm like, well, it depends on your situation, but you know, you need to be proactive in setting up meetings with your manager to let them know what you're doing so they can see that you're ready for the next level when the time comes. And she was like, that is such a new concept to me. I just do my job so well that they don't check on me. They just forget about me. I'm doing my job well. I never thought that I should be talking about what I'm doing. And I'm like, oh, absolutely. Because that's what I call the middle child syndrome at work, where you're so good at your job, they forget about you. You keep things like you are not the problem child, so you don't get any attention. The problem with that is that when it's time for you to ask for a promotion or a raise, they don't know what you've been doing. They don't know the problems you've been silently fixing. They don't know the contracts you've been silently securing. They don't know how you've been silently improving things in the back end. So they'll tell you you're not ready for leadership because they just don't know that you are ready for leadership. So that's the caveat to number four, where I said you've been in your current role for 3+ years and you should leave. Because if you haven't been making it known what you're doing, it candidly, I'm going to be honest, it might not be their fault that you haven't been promoted. Girl, you're not doing your part. Remember, you're the CEO of your career. CEOs think about sales. They think about marketing. They think about business growth. You got to be thinking, how do I position myself to grow my career? How do I market the work I'm doing so I can make more money, get more title, have more impact, have more influence? So if you're not doing your part to make it known and make it plain and make it loud, the work that you're doing, check yourself. I'm just going to give them a benefit of the doubt and check yourself. What do you need to change to make it known that you're already operating as a leader so you can get that promotion? So that's a caveat to number four. But if you've been in that role for 3+ years, they know that you're doing work, you've asked for advancement, and they've shut you down multiple times, to me, that's a sign. I always say the first time they say no, okay, that could be an opportunity to grow for feedback. But if you implement their feedback and they say no again, two no's is a sign that it's time to go. Ooh, that rhymed. Two no's is time to go. Did it really rhyme? I don't know. I'm getting distracted. But that's sign number four. Sign number five that you're ready for the next level is when you feel underutilized. And this one is a big one. If you feel like your talents are being wasted, trust that feeling. Trust that you can do more and have more impact and have more income and have more influence in your career. And start finding a place that will allow you to be utilized at your capacity, where you don't feel stagnant and stuck in your career. Okay. Okay. So I told a lot of like side stories when going through the signs. Let me just list the five signs again, clearly that you're ready for the next level. You're the go-to person for complex problems. You're making decisions typically made by the level above you. You're bored or frustrated in your current role. You've been at your current level for 3+ years without growth, and you feel underutilized. If any of those signs are resonating with you, then you're likely ready to advance in your career. Those are the objective facts, right? Those traps I talked about earlier are subjective. It's your fear, it's your emotions, it's your mindset keeping you thinking you're not ready for a higher level, so you apply for lower level roles. These signs are things that you can look at objectively to decide objectively because, let me finish one train of thought, to decide objectively that you're ready for the next level because too often, we take our emotions as fact, and our emotions are not facts. They're valid, but they're not facts. Your emotions can tell you you're not ready when objectively you are ready. Your emotions can tell you you're going to fail when objectively you know that you have the skills to be successful. So you have to separate fact from fiction in your mind. What is the factual truth about your skills, your readiness, and your qualification? And then that brings me to the next thing that I want you to do to help you overcome or stop aiming for lower level roles is redefine what it means to be qualified versus overqualified in your mind. Because if you are 100% qualified for a role, my sister, you are overqualified. Plain and simple. To be qualified for a job means that you can do about 60 to 70% of the job description, not 100%. 80% maybe. But if you can do 100%, you're overqualified and you will be bored in that job in months. Job descriptions are usually a wish list, not a checklist. Companies will list their dream candidate. They'll list all these dream qualifications, knowing that they will likely hire someone who meets most, not all of these criteria. Not to mention, when you're overqualified, it can come back and bite you in the butt because companies don't like hiring people that are overqualified for a job. Because in their minds, if you're overqualified, they're going to have to spend more money to pay you. So they want to hire someone cheaper. Or if you're overqualified, they think that you're going to get bored soon and leave, which means they have to spend more money to recruit again. Or if you're overqualified, the hiring manager might think, oh, she's coming for my job in a few months. Like, I don't want to hire this person. They're more qualified than me. They can outdo me in my job. So aiming for a job that you're overqualified for actually hurts you in the process of applying for jobs. Not to mention, you're likely to get more rejections, and every rejection is a hit to your confidence, which can then negatively impact how you show up in your job search. So as you're thinking about being qualified or overqualified, remember that your transferable skills count. Just because you haven't done the exact thing doesn't mean you can't do it. For example, if you've managed projects, you can manage programs. If you've led a team of 5, you can lead a team of 15. The principles scale. Okay? Plus, experience doing the work matters more than the actual title. Remember the title trap. If you've been doing director level work without the director title, you are qualified for director roles. Simple. Stop disqualifying yourself before anybody else gets the chance to even consider you for the role. So that's the first mindset shift. The second mindset shift I want you to adopt so that you stop applying for roles you're overqualified for is recognizing that discomfort in a job description is actually a green flag, not a red flag. So when you read a job description and you feel that little flutter of, ooh, this is going to be a stretch, this is going to be a bit of a stretch, that's not a red flag. It's a green flag because discomfort means growth. Like, I don't care what area of your life you look at. Growth never happens in comfort. There's a reason your muscles hurt when you start working out. They're growing. If everything in the job description feels easy and familiar, you're not going to develop new skills. You're not going to be challenged. You're going to be doing what you already know how to do, which means you're going to be bored and frustrated in that job. Okay? Discomfort is not a bad thing. the best roles that you're most qualified for actually make you a little nervous, because that feeling of being nervous, it's not imposter syndrome telling you you're not ready. It's just your intuition telling you, okay, this role is going to be a little bit of a stretch. I'm going to need to do some research, learn some skills, tap into my resources, but that's okay. I got this. I know how to do all of those things. And I'm going to grow. I'm going to learn new skills. I'm going to make more money. I'm going to have more impact. I'm going to have more influence. I'm going to grow. There's nothing wrong with growth. There's nothing wrong with growth. And I think a lot of times a reason why we run away from discomfort when we're looking at a role is because we don't feel confident, right? Like when you look at a job description and you think, oh, that's a bit of a stretch, you don't feel confident in your ability to do the job. And that's not a bad thing. Confidence follows action, not the other way around. Too many of us wait to feel confident before we do something. Meanwhile, you have to do the thing to feel the confidence. You're not supposed to feel 100% confident before you apply. When you do the job, when you see that you can handle it, when you build your capability, when you have the outcomes, then the confidence will follow, not beforehand. You need to give your brain evidence that you can do the job well, and then your brain will feel confident that you can do the job well. The only way to give your brain that evidence is to do the job. Thinking about the job is not going to convince your brain that you're ready. Journaling about the job is not going to convince your brain that you're ready. Praying about the job even is not going to convince your brain that you're ready. Because remember what faith is: evidence in things not seen. So, as you're praying for confidence, you need to act in faith and take the job, believing that the Lord will be with you in the job, and then your brain will have evidence that you can do the job, and then you will feel confident. Stop waiting to feel confident to apply for your next level role. You're letting your emotions keep you playing small in your career. You're letting your emotions sabotage your financial future because you're not making more money. You're letting your emotions keep you doubting your skills because you're not operating at a higher level. You're letting your emotions jerk you and yank you around in your career when you should be the master of your emotions. If a job description feels comfortable and safe, it is probably beneath your level. If it feels exciting and, yes, slightly intimidating, that's where you need to be aiming. Those are the jobs you need to be applying for. This is also why you need to be working with a coach. Because a coach can look at your body of work objectively and say, girl, stop playing. You are overqualified for that job. At least if I'm your coach, that's what I'm going to do. I do it for my clients all the time. A coach is also going to help you remember your credentials, remember your receipts, remember your qualifications, and guide you into believing that you're ready for that role. In Next Level Career, my one-on-one coaching partnerships, one of the first things I do with my clients is help them accurately assess their readiness for the next level. Because so many women aim to look like, emotionally or intellectually, I should say, they know they want a director level role. They know they want more money, but their emotions keeps them doubting themselves. And they're not doubting because they're not qualified. They're doubting because they're trapped in one of those patterns I mentioned earlier. And so when we work together to identify where they are already operating at a higher level, even if they don't have the title, it helps them start to believe in their abilities. I help them reframe their experience to show director level impact. We build the confidence to aim higher. And then the strategy, I give them the strategy to position themselves to land those roles. And I address this fear head on, because fear is usually the biggest barrier. And once you can name the fear and separate the fear from the fact of your ability, everything changes. So here's something that I want you to do this week. If this has been resonating with you and you're like, yep, I've been aiming too low. First, I want you to audit where you're aiming. Look at the jobs you've been considering or applying for and honestly ask yourself, can I do this role in my sleep? If the answer is yes, you're aiming too low. Second, identify your trap. Listen to this episode again if you need to. Are you reaching for safety? Are you waiting for the title, or are you letting fear hide as practicality? Name the trap that is keeping you small so you can overcome it. Third, find a stretch role. Find one stretch role, a job description that makes you feel excited and nervous. That's your target level. That's where you should be aiming. And then finally, assess your readiness honestly. Use the signs I talked about, those five signs. Are you the go-to person? Are you making higher level decisions? Have you been in your role for 3+ years? If you check those boxes, you're ready. Whether it feels like it or not, you're ready. And then come work with me. Come work with me as your coach to help you develop the strategy to position yourself for those roles, the strategy to overcome those mindset traps so you can show up confidently, so you can actually land your director level role while increasing your salary by at least 50K, right? Like, if you're ready to stop aiming low and actually position yourself for the roles you actually deserve, my one-on-one coaching partnership, Next Level Career, is designed for exactly this work. When we work together, we spend 6 months together where I help you identify where you're already operating at the higher level, build the confidence to aim higher, build the resume and interview strategy and networking strategy to aim higher, apply for the director level role, and land the director level role with a 50K plus salary increase. If you go to privatecareercoaching.com, you can learn more about how I help women, the results my clients have gotten, and then book a free promotion strategy call to learn more about how I will help you specifically land your promotion. Because here's what I know, you are probably more qualified than you think. You are probably ready for more than you're giving yourself credit for, and you're definitely worth more than you're currently being paid, let's be honest. So go to privatecareercoaching.com, submit your application to work with me. We'll have a free call. I'll tell you exactly how I'm going to help you get promoted. Let's work together so that I can help you aim at the level you actually belong, not the level that feels safe. That URL is also going to be in the description of this episode. Again, it's privatecareercoaching.com to learn more about working with me one-on-one. As usual, thanks for listening, and I will catch you on the next episode. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode. If you are ready to stop feeling overlooked in your career and finally get promoted into your next level role, I have got something special for you. I created a free audio training series for professional Christian women who are ready for more money, more impact, and more influence in their careers. So if you're ready to get promoted and increase your salary by $20,000 to $50,000 without compromising who you are, visit hercareerdoctor.com/advance to sign up and listen to the free audio training today. Again, that link is hercareerdoctor.com/advance, or you can just click the link in the episode description to get started. In this free audio training, I break down everything you need to identify and communicate your existing impact so you can finally land your higher paying, higher impact role with faith and confidence. Because it's an audio training, you can listen on the go without being stuck to a computer. So go to hercareerdoctor.com/advance now to sign up for the free audio training that will break down how to advance into your next level role as a Christian woman.